Hi, welcome to today's episode of So What's Up, and today I've got Aaron and Sam with me, and we're going to be talking about what our most common issues through our support channel are. So hi guys, today we just want to pick up a few of the most common things that we get asked from our clients on our tech support channel. So for anyone that doesn't know, any client that is on a service plan with us can email in and they can say, I'm having an issue with whatever it is, and our team will have a look at it and get back to them. So Aaron, top of your head, what's the most common thing we get on websites that we that people ask us about?
Can't log in, you know.
To the admin, you mean? Admin, like, lost their password, that kind of stuff?
Yep, it's the big one. Yep. You know, people just can't get into the site to do what they want to do with it.
Okay, and the answer to that is reset your password.
Reset your password.
Yep, fair enough. Click forgot password, it will send you an email.
Yep.
Okay, what else do we normally get?
Emails not coming through.
So that would be things like contact forms on the websites. And what's the normal resolution for that?
Contact us.
Like, what do we do to fix that normally?
Usually it's
SMTP plugins.
That thing to Sam.
No worries, just blank. To change the deliverability of the mail, where just to kind of reroute it, just to make sure that everyone's inbox is picking your emails that come through off the website as safe to be delivered to your inbox, and then they don't end up in spam or just completely lost altogether.
I mean, this has been an issue that's been around since the original days of the internet, to be fair, isn't it? You know, and I think it's worse nowadays where people have got email filters that are really oversensitive to things. And, you know, they get the email from your website. It goes, oh, this is not where I normally receive my email from.
Yeah, and I think it's also another thing is, you know, places like Gmail have got a lot more sensitive about blocking and put you on a blacklist.
Yep. 100%. And so even though it's just a contact form, you might find that your own email is getting blocked by your own email service.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a bit of a debugging process to sort of get to the answer of that sometimes, isn't it? To look into that for that particular client. Because obviously we don't manage clients' email. So it's often for us a lot of to and froing with their IT company sometimes to have a look into that. And they might need to whitelist things. And yeah, I mean, back 20 years ago, this was an issue. So it's obviously not something the internet has resolved.
It's only got worse, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Especially with GDPR and all those 100%, restrictions.
100%. Sam, what top of your head, what do you pick up?
Usually slow page speeds on websites. Sometimes if you've got a website that's having a little bit of an influx in resource and traffic to the website, that can cause, especially front-end and admins, to be just running a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. So usually we can log into the server and see on the back end of the server just how much resource is currently being used on the website, and if that's particularly high, you know, there's temporary measures that we can put in place to just increase that, just so we can load manage those resources and just make sure that users aren't experiencing an issue.
So that happens, like, so the website can go live, it could be as quick as anything, and then suddenly, like, a few months later, we can get a client saying, oh, the website's running slow, what is it? And then we have to look into what that might be. And it might be a server issue, or it might be an actual issue on the website.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when I've picked up support tickets before, the vast majority of them, and obviously we work with WordPress as our main platform, are to do with plugins and third-party software. Which, you know, I had a client recently who asked us to look at taking over their website, and I can't remember, I think you guys looked at it for me. It was like 70 something plugins.
Yeah, it was a huge number.
And then that sort of straight away for us goes, well, that's just going to be tech support headaches all over, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I think, when we build websites, we try and reduce that amount of plugins in there to sort of stop problems happening before they do. But obviously from our point of view, we look at trying to do proactive web support so that we are updating for the clients on a monthly basis so that they don't go out of date and they're not vulnerable to hacking. I mean, that's something that all of us in this room have done for clients. So, I mean, Sam, what's the general process for that we do every month?
So that'll start by, going into the admin itself, taking a look at if there's a core version of WordPress to be updated. That obviously, that's if it is on WordPress. And then if that's all fine, you can then start to look at the plugins that need to be updated. Obviously, usually a good scale would be the least amount of plugins you can have on the site, the better. Just as you referenced about you know, if you've got 76 plugins on the site, you've got to then try and make sure that there's no conflicts between plugins that can, or just deprecated technology within those plugins that can then bring the site down or cause problems further down the line. So it's just making sure that they're all up to date as well, just to prevent any vulnerability issues as well, because usually that's why plugins get updated, because of
security issues that the developer has fixed in them.
Yeah, so you can't guarantee with a plugin, you know, it's third-party code. We have no control over that.
Yeah.
So you have no guarantee what's going into a plugin. Obviously, there are plugins we trust, plugins that we use on a regular basis that, you know.
Yeah, the safe plugins and not safe plugins, aren't they, let's be honest, yeah. So just in obviously, you mentioned vulnerabilities and so security. Obviously, that used to be, and I remember back in the day, we used to be constantly getting hacked websites. It was a thing that... touch wood, we are not getting as much of. But it was really, I mean, I can remember years where we had lots of issues, like whole websites taken down by hacking and stuff like that.
Well, it was that slider, wasn't it? Was it Divi slider or something like that?
Yeah. Revolution.
Revolution, that was the one, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like a really common set of plugins.
It was on every site like for years and years, and it got hacked once, and that basically killed off like
that
hundreds
was right.
of hundreds, if not thousands of websites. All
yeah, I remember that, yeah. So we used to have constant issues, but we don't seem to have that so much now. But just generally though, for the good practice for keeping websites secure, Aaron, what would you say, just a couple of quick points that people should do just to try and keep their websites safe?
I mean, the first port of call should be your password security, account and password security, and not just the account on the site itself, but emails.
Yeah.
Any account that's tied to that, any email account.
Okay.
You want to have a strong password, update it regularly.
Yep.
You know, standard stuff.
People forget that stuff, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And the number of people that choose their dog's name or something for their password is, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
or even password or even, really, or just add a one
still
at the end.
To this day, yeah, you'd think. But just, you know, do the standard thing of numeric numbers and capital letters and special characters in there just to keep it a bit more secure, harder to guess.
Cool. Any other points?
Keep your plugins up to date.
Yeah.
As we said, sort of before.
Yeah. Obviously, we do that for clients that are on our maintenance plan, so they haven't got to worry about doing that, because we did find that people didn't do that. So we sort of created our maintenance plan for that reason, so that we know that clients are at least every month having everything updated, so that it just minimizes the amount of time there might be in a period of, where the website is not going to be quite 100%.
Yeah. Don't share your user accounts.
Yeah.
That's another big thing.
Okay, so that means like having different user accounts for different people.
Yep.
Yep. And another one just for WordPress specifically.
Turn off comments.
So comments would be in WordPress?
They're just sort of a feature that's for the blogging aspect of it, which is obviously what WordPress was originally built for.
Yeah.
But it's an inlet for hackers, or it used to be. They've got better at it now, haven't they? But
yeah, I mean, we see them going to WordPress websites. It's just a comment site, I think, on the side, isn't it? It says like you might have 10 plugins, but always spam. It's just spam. But is that just like a way in where spammers go, oh, this website's got a bit of an open hole here?
Yeah,
let's try and get into that.
At one point, there was a vulnerability where if you just hovered over the comment and they'd put some code in it, it would execute that code and give the hackers a way in.
Right.
Obviously, WordPress patched that since then.
Yeah,
but it's still something that people need to be wary of.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to matter if you even don't, like, if you don't use comments at all on your site anyway. There's still
I can think of a couple of clients that maybe do, but very few.
Product reviews count as comments, but you can secure them. There are ways of securing them, but obviously, if you don't need them, turn them off.
You put captures on, can't you, and stuff like that, and you can stop people from just automatically posting from third-party blog sites.
And just education as well, educating you know, your admin not to click on dodgy-looking links.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, and then obviously, not so much a web support issue, but it does come up as a sort of action from web support, is any issues we get with accessibility and sort of user experience on websites. So things like broken forms and, navigation and things like that. I mean, you do quite a bit of work because you work with our SEO team on this. Is that something that you do quite a lot of changes to when we get clients having issues?
It depends on the client. Some are more kind of accessibility heavy and necessary than others. It's counted as a score of in like your page speed and website performance. And
it's a pretty big ranking factor these days, isn't it?
Yeah, so yeah. If you obviously we're always trying to get that accessibility score as high as it possibly can, just through all the various means that get thrown up, whether it be, you know, you've got some white text on a background that, you know, to the
white text on yellow.
Yeah, the naked eye looks fine, but yeah. Sometimes they get flagged up for being contrast sensitive or something like that.
I know what you mean.
Can't think of the exact terminology.
Minimal font sizes as well.
Yeah.
We get a lot of, I know we tend to go back over websites, don't we, where we rerun the scores in Google PageSpeed and Core Web Vitals and go, actually, what's Google now saying about it or he wasn't saying a few months ago? Yeah. And that's when we tend to pick up changes that need to be done on the website.
Yeah, and Google's always constantly changing those ranking factors and those accessibility factors. We have to keep on top of them. But
yeah, that's really helpful at Google. Yeah, but yeah, it's difficult, I suppose, for clients because they can look at it and go, oh, why is my website suddenly at 80 out of 100 and before it was 90 out of 100 or whatever? And it's not really their fault. It's just that's Google may have changed or the website. But yeah, they may have uploaded some content to the website that has slowed it down. So like I know one of the things we do quite regularly is go over and optimize images that clients uploaded to their website because typically people upload massive images and then it eventually starts slowing down.
And that brings it back to sort of performance on the site as well. Server speed, you put too much load on the server, server's going to crash.
Yeah.
So but you want to keep images and file sizes small, don't you?
Yeah, so then that's why, you know, it's good for clients to have an agency on hand that they can come back to every now and then and go, actually, guys, can you just do me a day's worth of maintenance work on this website? It just needs a bit of bit of work on it to keep it in best condition. Great. I think that's really helpful. Thanks, guys. Again, if anyone is having web support issues, if they're a client of ours, of course, that are already paying support, email support@sowmarketing.com. But if you are looking at getting an agency to help you manage your WordPress website going forwards, drop us an email at hello@sowmarketing.com.